It's a city where no storm clouds ever gather.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this is just what heaven means to be.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join?
Of God this morning. Aren't you glad you love to come to church? Aren't you glad you love to see your brothers and sisters? Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in church. Did you enjoy service last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Aren't you glad you're called to believe what you believe? Aren't you glad it's in your DNA to believe what you believe? Aren't you glad to be standing for the truth this morning? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church today. Play it.
Sounds good.
God bless you. God bless you, boys. It's good to see you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. Good to see you.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder
and join upon the glass?
This is just what heaven means.
Christ.
Oh, you've got to sing that chorus one more time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you know what? I've come to this conclusion. Whatever you're going through in this life, I don't care how hard the situation seems. I don't care how bad it seems. You're getting ready for the trip and the time of your life. Because our days here are few. And our joy in the Lord is going to be for eternity. So whatever you're going through with, I can't remember who it was that I heard. I believe it was Brother Donnie. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's another minister, a great one of our forefathers that preached the gospel, lived the gospel, loved it with all of his heart. He's getting ready to go to bed one night, Brother Phil, and he heard a rocker rocking in his living room. So he goes to check it out, and it was the devil sitting there. And the guy looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you." And turned around and went on to bed. So the devil puts all these things on you, but you know what? After all, it's just the devil. A toothless wimp. That all he can do is gum on you. We're serving a risen Savior. He's alive forevermore. He rose on that glorious morning. And he lives today in your heart. Aren't you glad about it? You better sing that second verse one more time. I want you to sing it good this time.
And when at last we see
hallelujah.
The face of Jesus.
Sing about it, church.
Before whose image loves all.
Say praise the Lord. Are you enthused this morning? Are you excited this morning? Well, you need to be. You've got a lot to be excited about. You've got a lot to be enthused about. You ain't got nothing to be wowsy me about. Everything's good. I don't care what's going on in your life. Everything's good in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. I don't know where all that come from, but you can be seated this morning. We're going to look at our prayer request. So good to be in the house of God. So good to see God's people that love to come to the church to worship in spirit and in truth. Brother Jerry, Sister Deanna Glenn says to our precious church family, thank you so much for your prayers, for your love, for all the cards and words of caring and support during my father's illness and passing away. It has been a great comfort to me and my family. I love and appreciate you all so much, and am so thankful to be blessed with such a wonderful family in Christ. God bless you all.
Sister Deanna and Brother Jury. Well, just as a footnote to that, we're blessed to have you in our congregation. I mean that. We appreciate you all. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll be getting ready this morning to lead us to the Lord, I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence, who had to leave before service, not feeling well this morning. How do you pronounce your granddaughter's name? I want to pray for little Keziah McCoy. She's homesick this morning. I mispronounce her name most of the time. Brother Gary said that Sister Lana told him to tell me to say it right. So I want to pray for that child today. Brother Micah Swafford says, please pray for my brother Timothy Swafford for salvation. Also my mother Marjorie O'Dell for healing. And an unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to God this morning. The family of Sister Estep want to thank the church for their prayers for their mom. Her surgery went well, so we're thankful for that. The family of Brother Junior Davis wants to thank God that he is doing so much better this morning. He was able to eat breakfast and is sitting up. He may get to come home today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Chuck Saminsky wants us to remember Linda Mullis in prayer. She's in the hospital in Knoxville having multiple tests. The doctors cannot find out what her problem is. We'll just pray that the Lord would lead them and give her healing. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is having back problems this morning. So let's remember that. Let me make a couple of announcements to you. This morning there will not be any service this coming Wednesday due to the ceiling and the striping of our parking lots. That's going to be a week-long endeavor, so we'll not be able to have service on Wednesday night, but we ought to come back, Lord willing, next weekend, fired up and ready to go. But let's remember, all of you remember that, no service. Also, the new cookbooks will be available in the fellowship hall after service. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God's able? Amen. Say it, God's able. God's able. Say it again, God's able. God's able. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Daniel, we love you, buddy. Appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I talked to someone in the parking lot before church, and they told me that Brother Tom's Horniak wife was in bad shape this morning. So let's remember that family in prayer also. Let's pray over these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to say I love you this morning, God. I want to say I thank you for what you mean to me. I remember, God, that John Wesley's brother, wrote a song one time. Lord, it says, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the wonders of his mercy and grace. You know what? God, I know that if I could speak in 1,000 languages this morning, Lord, I'd never be able to praise you enough for what you mean to me. God, thank you for everything in life that you've given to me. Thank you for my church family, God, for these people that's here this morning. God, those over the nets, in nets, Lord Jesus. God, we praise you for them. Now, God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne, knowing, God, that there's nothing impossible to just believe. God, may our faith join together here today, Lord Jesus. God, to heal everyone that's sick, to save everyone that's lost. God, that you bring deliverance among us, Heavenly Father. God, we're so thankful for Brother Daniel Pisa. Thank you for the revelation that's going forth. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the service last night. And God, we thank you for the service that we're going to be in today. We know, God, that it's going to be sent from you. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll take this service, move upon every part of it. Bless our singers. And God, bless our pastor. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service, I pray it'll be a great blessing to them. Let's sing a song this morning. It's Out of This World.
Somebody say it is out of this world. Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. We haven't sung it in a while, and we're not really for sure about the key, but we'll find it. Before we quit singing it, we will have it right. I promise you. It's out of this world. Out of this world. Telling you the place where I'm going. It's out of this world. No more sorrow. Telling you the place where I'm going, it's out of this world. Sing that chorus, out of this world. A city that'll stand. I'm telling you the place where I'm going. It's out of this world. Help me sing it. Oh, it's out of this world.
Sorrow.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's out of this world, church. God bless you. Thank you for singing so good this morning. Appreciate your input and your participation. I didn't tell nobody to sit down. But you can sit down. God bless you. You just took for granted, Brother Gene. You think you know everything, don't you? Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Aren't you glad you love the Lord? Aren't you glad He loves you? Aren't you glad He loves you? Praise the Lord. We're going to have a couple of songs. Sister Lisa Cutts is going to come and sing for us this morning. I apologize to her. She was supposed to sing a couple of weeks ago, and I just totally forgot about it. She's going to sing. Then Brother Harry, I hope, has got that song that I wanted him to sing, When God Ran. I believe he can do it. He done a good job on that verse that he didn't even know, so I know he can do this other one. Praise the Lord.
His brother sent me a text this morning. He got his request in before Louie did. Besides that, I seriously couldn't remember the words to Brother Louie's song. And I don't know if I can this one. It's been a long time since me and Brother Larry practiced it, but he said this song had been on his heart, and this place has been on my heart for a long time. Are you homesick?
Amen.
I was listening to Brother Branham this morning, and he was talking about when he talked to the infidel, and he was describing how he was there in Kentucky, and the apples falling off the tree, and the yellow jackets flying around, and he went and they was eating fried apple pies. And I told Karen, I said, don't that just make you homesick to go to Kentucky? I'm sure you country folks have seen all that, and it makes you think about memories you had when you was running around as a kid and seeing apples on the ground and yellow jackets. And then I got to thinking about, no wonder I'm so homesick for heaven. The word is making it so real, and Father's coming down and touching us. And I'll be glad when we get so close, he says, you're closer to my house than you are to yours. Come on, come on home. I may forget the words and I may mess it up, but I can only imagine what it will be like that morning. What my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Sorry. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, holding all of you, be still? Will I stand in your presence, for my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, holding on to you, be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. When I'm surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, holding on to you, be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Hallelujah. I'm just so happy he's made a way where I can be there.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to verse 7. I'd like to speak to you again today on marriage of a king's son. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. First group, category one. And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Category two. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And the king heard thereof. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. I pray that God, by his grace, never allows anybody standing in this place today to be in this category. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we approach you today, Father, with thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts. We realize, Lord, that it is your divine mercy that has been given to us, that there was a place provided, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we heard singing about our place at the table and then the follow-up song with that, I can only imagine. Truly, Lord, that is the desire of our hearts, is to be there. What we do in this life, our jobs, our money, our value, it'll have no worth at all once we step before you that day. So we know the only things that really last are those things that we do for Christ Jesus. Help us, I pray, Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today. May we be benefited as we hear the word of God. May it change and transform our lives. Father, I have in my hand this prayer cloth for Brother Gene's sister. You know the need, Lord. I want to stick it here in my pocket for just a few moments. And I pray, Lord God, as I'm preaching your anointed word, may the presence of God go with it, Lord, and supply this need. We're rejoicing today, Father, for Brother Junior Davis, who was so sick, Lord, just so weak. And we're so thankful, Lord, the good report has come back today. We thank you, dear God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, church. As we said last night, a parable can be twofold in that its manifestation and its fulfillment can be both future and present tense. It can be to where that part of it will be fulfilled in real time and then part of it will be fulfilled in further days down the road. Jesus, giving this parable, truly, he clearly identifies an important part about the gospel that's fixing to be revealed. Up to this time, of course, the gospel had been very, very minute, and John the Baptist in the introduction stages of it. The 70 had been sent forth, and Jesus himself had now began to proclaim it and declare it. So the beginning of it is just starting. The attributes that are going to be manifest, pro and con, have not really come into full fruition yet. So as the gospel is beginning and going to start, then you'll see different attributes of the people as they respond to it. Anything new, of course, can always be difficult to understand. Many people won't even consider it. Some won't even look at it. Others will look at it and say, I just can't handle that. So they'll turn and walk away. But then there'll always be some, very small, but some, that will be able to embrace it because they're ready for change. And here it was this way in the days of the Lord Jesus. So now he sets forth in the form of stories, which is a story, earthly story with a heavenly meaning in a parabolic form. Something that he might say this and it might mean this. Same with the prophet apparently seeing his visions. Brother Bram said a prophet sees a vision. He said you might see a sheep, but it might actually mean wool. So when God would show something like that, it was in symbol form. Here the Lord Jesus in verse 6 of this Matthew 22, he says, the remnant took his servants and entreated them, which is reproach used despitefully, to be insolent, to behave insolently, to act insolently, and shamefully towards one, to treat shamefully one who injures another by speaking evil of him. Now, this is the second category of those people that were invited. The first category, they just went to the farm, they went to the merchandise. They didn't really want nothing to do with it. But they left, actually, just turned and went their way. Backslid, as we'd say in one sense. They just turned and walked away. Didn't want nothing to do with religion or God. And really, those people are better off. Because when you find the judgment that the Lord God was going to render to these people, he never emphatically emphasizes the judgment that's going to go to the first group. Really, you know, people would be better off if they're going to turn away from this word. They'd be better off just to go back out, start smoking, drinking, lying, living like whores, prostitutes, devils, than they would to claim they're still religious and get on websites and go to bashing the prophet of God. Exactly right. Be much more merciful for him at the day of judgment. You say, that's crazy, is it? How come Jesus told that generation that he was speaking to, it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would for them? Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed for being homosexuals, and it would be more merciful them than it would those who see in the present daylight. So is it today. So this category of people, the reason that they cannot leave and just turn away and, oh, I don't want to know, they've got to turn against it. They have to emphatically do it. They've got to verbally do it, vocally do it, and they've got to do it with spite and hatred. Why, Brother Donnie? They're ordained to this condemnation. Now, whenever they turn in this aspect, they will use harsh words. They will use means that's absolutely lies. They will fabricate. They will do whatever they need to do in order to promote their agenda. Now, notice what Jesus responds in this to this in verse 7. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, not the first group. Not the first group that had left and just done, oh, I don't want nothing to do. I'm getting away from that bunch of hypocrites. I just go out here and live and drink and do whatever I want to do. He never sent his armies to those categories of people. But it was those that was going to murder. It was those who was going to lie and run down and do whatever more they were going to do against the servants that was sent to tell them about the wedding. As I said last night, they're not trying to get their wives. They're not trying to get into their bank account and hack their privacy of their emails and do anything like that. They're trying to tell them everything is ready. And they get all mad and all upset at these servants because they're simply trying to tell them it's time to go home. It's time to leave this world. It's time to get ready. And they turn this way with this kind of an attitude. And you know, we know it lays more action than just the servants themselves. Really, in reality, they hate the king. And they hate his doctrines. They hate the message that has now come. And the message has to do with what? The message has to do with the marriage of the Lamb, which shows us what dispensation this is. Now, as we looked at the parallel of it last night to show that the precursor or the forerunning of what was going to happen to the Jewish nation, the Jews which had now turned down and beginning to turn down the new truth that God was sending in that day, they were coming into the fullness of their anointing. And they were actually manifesting what was going to happen to them. So in other words, their destiny was being made manifest in time. Now, it was not visible yet because Rome had not actually purposed to destroy Jerusalem. So it's going to be 70 AD when Titus, the son of Vespasian, is going to come and he's going to destroy the city. But as the people are rejecting the word, they will begin to move into their destiny. Their destiny is going to be annihilation. Their destiny is going to be, they're going to be destroyed. They're actually going to eat one another's children. They will eat the bark off the trees. They'll eat the grass off of the ground. But before this ever happens, they will move into their destiny. So they are going to start changing themselves. I imagine it must have been surprising.
surprising, really, as some of these people, which the prophet tells us these priests were called the kind old priest. They were tender. They were gentle. They were loving sorts of guys. They were not mean and hateful and contrary. But can you imagine all of a sudden they begin to change and something altered the way they were? The kind old priest said, help loan your daddy money when he's about to lose the farm. And the kind old priest would sit down with your mother and father when they were fixing to get a divorce. And the kind old priest talked you right through it. But now this kind old priest takes on an attitude like his wife had never seen before. Or an attitude that even his congregation had never seen before. And this man takes on a murdering type of attitude. Why? He has rejected the summons to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He has now entered into his destiny, which is total annihilation. He has entered into his destiny, which is destruction. So he's moving under the destiny. And remember, some of these people that heard the Lord Jesus say these words were alive when Titus came through. It's 40 some years later. Some of these people were still alive and they saw the very words that the Lord Jesus said come to pass. Now, let's pick up some of these that we're looking at last night on the Jews. Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Now, watch what this does to this religious people. And they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men. Now, the word feign is to become an actor. So they're going to act like they are just men. Now, they're going to persuade the people, of course, that they're just men. They're going to act like they're real believers. Now, notice these people that are doing this. They watched him and sent for spies which should feign themselves just men. Now, these are not the Romans. These are not the Cappadocians. These are not Babylonians or Assyrians. But these are the most religious people of the world at this time. They were reading their Bibles. They were praying. They loved God. They would cry crocodile tears of how much they loved God and how they were longing for the Messiah. But this was their corrupt nature inside. So they watched him and sent for spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take a hold of his words. Now watch now. Who the Gospels portray are the people who do this. As I said last night, you never find a Holy Ghost-filled child of God doing such things. You never find Paul doing it, Peter doing it, James doing it, Andrew doing it. You never find real Christians trying to listen to a tape of a prophet of God to see if they can find a human mistake. First of all, if they got any sense, they know human element is always there anyway. But they're not looking for something. They don't stream a service of Donnie Reagan or Tim Pruitt or Mike Price or whoever we'd want to mention, and just to try to find something so they can lay a trap for the man. That is serpent seed. Nobody with the Holy Ghost can do such thing. The Holy Ghost in you would grieve you to no end to do such a thing. Totally impossible. Well, you get kicked back from that, Brother Donnie. I'm used to being kicked. It don't bother me. Now watch. So they might take a hold of his words, so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. So now look what they're doing. They're moving under this deceitful, decrepit, low-down anointing to where they are looking and they'll go by any means to be able to destroy the Lord Jesus. They ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Bunch of hypocrites. They didn't believe that a bit more than the devil did. But look what they're doing. They're feigning. They're acting. Oh, we know you're a great man of God. We know you don't worry about people's person. Man, you, anybody tells the truth. You imagine the Lord Jesus standing there looking at them, looking right back to the very beginning of their soul and discern their thoughts. They said, Master, we know thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Just about make you vomit, don't it? Is it lawful for us to get tribute unto Caesar? Now watch it, it's a baited trap. We know you don't respect Obama. You don't respect Congress. You don't respect the Senate. Let me tell you one thing, you hypocrite. That same Holy Ghost is alive today. And let me tell you, before it happens, it'll be thus in this church. One day Ananias and Sapphira will return right here. So get your heart right and keep it right, lest I have to bury you. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? He perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt you me? Tempt you, you? Why, we're believers. Why tempt you me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription has it? And they answered, Caesar's. He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take a hold of his words. Fry, scorch, burn. Oh my. They could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. You see, you're not even dealing with born again people. You're not dealing with converted people at all. Boy, you folks are quiet on me this morning. Now watch, St. John chapter 5 verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto an hour. Now they jumped on him because he's performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Jews sought to kill, now watch, this is the religious people of the day. The Jews sought the more to kill him. Really? Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So according to the law of Moses, that's the right to kill a man. St. John chapter 7 verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, because he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Friends, do you understand what was happening to these people? They were moving under this destructive anointing. They were moving into their destiny. They had now changed. The light had come, and the light had exposed who and what they were. And they refused that light. They were not bright, of course, but they could have accepted it and would have been able to go in and sit down at a table by grace. The guest is not the bride category at all, but they could have received that if they wanted to, but they would not have anything to do with it. St. John chapter 8 verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Well, Jesus must have been preaching before they had pulpit manners, I guess. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my words, he shall never see death. Now watch him saying things intentionally and on purpose to fire up their temper. Whether or not you understand it, the Holy Ghost does the same thing today. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste of death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. My Father, what's that? It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Now they're already mad. I mean, they're steaming. And Jesus just opens up the door and throws a little bit more coal on the fire. But I know him and keep his saying. I wonder how many churches in Johnson City would allow the Lord Jesus to preach a sermon like this. They'd do the very same thing to him today that they'd done 2,000 years ago. But your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old and hast seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Watch their reaction. Then they took up stones. You devil. You filthy devil, you. We'll kill you right here. Now, if you venture on some of these websites and some of these forums and some of these trash deals, see if you find this same spirit. See if you find the spirit of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is forgiving. Love is this and love is that. I can tell you before you get there, you won't. My, my. Praise the Lord. And they took up stones to cast at him. But notice, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. Isn't that amazing? He hid himself and walked right among them and they didn't know him. Oh my. Now what? St. John chapter 10 verse 19. And there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these things. Here, once again, Jesus had said some more things and it rocked their boat and they just didn't understand it. Now notice what it caused among the people. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. In other words, he is not in his right mind. That's what the word mad means. So he has a devil and he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, one of them, I'm one of them. I'm verse 21. You make up whichever one you are. I said, I'm verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. You make up your mind of whatever you want to say about the words of the message of this end time. If you want to say it's a false prophet and a liar, do whatever you want to do. But for me, I say these are not the words of him that hath a devil. These are not the words of a false prophet. These are not the words of a liar. They are the words of a prophet of God. So here's this confusion because of this message of Jesus. So some are saying, this man's got a devil and he's crazy. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now I would like to ask you that. Can a devil open the eyes of a blind? Can a demon-possessed preacher, a false prophet, open the eyes of the blind? Now down in the South, they have the Jim Crow law, that is colored and white, can't mix together. So here come a colored girl, about 17, 18 years old. Her eyes was as white with cataract as my shirt. She come pressing through that crowd saying, somebody please help me. Daddy? And I thought, why don't some of these people help that poor girl? Now, Brother Branham is fixing to go in and he's got these men that are watching him, taking him through the crowd. So he said, I thought while he wasn't looking, I'd move along a little and I got over. And I kept getting right in her way. And I was watching for these men to come, and she come right up, and I stood right like that, and she bumped right into me. Now you see what he's doing? He's moving right over. She can't see him, but he can see her, so he's moving right over where this girl's come through. She got separated from her daddy. So she's coming through saying, "Daddy, Daddy." So Brother Ben gets right in her way, and he said, she bumped right into me. She had her hands, she tugged me and said, "Excuse me, sir. Excuse me," and said, "Daddy?" I said, "What are you looking for?" She said, "Sir, I've lost my daddy. I'm blind." She said, "I can't find him. I don't know what to do." Said, "Nobody won't help me. Will you help me, kind sir?" And I said, "Well, I don't see no more colored people around here." I said, "Well, where are you from?" She said, "Memphis." I looked out there and there was a bunch of charter buses sitting there. And I knowed one of them was Memphis. And that's how I said, "What are you doing over here?" She said, "I was listening to the radio this morning. And I heard about all those deaf and dumb people they had up there that was deaf and dumb last night speaking on the radio." And I said, "You're blind?" And she said, "What'd you come up here for?" And she said, "I come to see the healer." And I said, "The what?" She said, "The healer." Notice what she said. "I come to see the healer. I didn't just come to talk to him. I didn't just come to hear. But I come to see." I want to ask you, what you come to church to see today? Did you come to see somebody's new dress or a new hat? Or did you come to see the healer? Did you come to see the Savior? Did you come to see the deliverer? And I said, "You don't believe that, do you?" "Oh, yes, sir." I said, "Do you believe that's the truth?" She said, "Yes, sir." And I began to feel little. And she said, "Yes, sir, I believe it." I said, "Why? You believe that God would do something like that as far as advanced as we are in medical science is?" She said, "Sir, when I was a little girl, I got cataracts on my eyes, and the doctor told me when they got ripe." I don't know what that means, they said, but when they got ripe, they'd take them off. "Now that they're ripe," said, "they said, if they take them out, they'd pull the optical nerves out of my eyes. I can't see, and only hope I got is to get in there. And this is that man's last night here, they tell me. I can't even get near the building. And I lost my daddy." She can't get near the building to get in. But God sent Elijah out to her. "I lost my daddy. And I don't know what to do." I said, "Do you believe if you get in there, you'd be healed?" She said, "I heard of that man on the radio this morning from up in Kennett, Missouri. He'd been blind for 10 years and he received his sight." Said, "Well, couldn't I be healed too?" I said, "Do you believe that?" She said, "Sir, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you just get me in there where that man's at, I'll be able to find my daddy." Hallelujah! Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You get me in there where that man's at and I'll find my daddy. I wasn't blind naturally, but I was blind spiritually. I'm so glad somebody got me to where this man was at. I'm so glad somebody got me to where this man was, because ever since I've got around this word, I've seen my daddy more clear than I ever seen him in my life. I see my daddy. I see see my brothers. I see my sister. I see myself more clear than I've ever seen it. Brother Bram says, I felt my heart drop right away from me. And I thought, poor old little blind thing. I said, look, lady, do you mean that? And she said, yes. Oh, I said, maybe I'm the one you're supposed to see. And she grabbed me like that and she said, is you the healer? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm Brother Branham. Jesus is the healer. And she grabbed me and she said, oh, Brother Branham, has mercy on me. Has mercy on me. And I looked and I thought, her only hope, Christ. I said, I don't want to be recognized in the crowd, lady. You bow your head and we'll have a word of prayer. I said, first, I want to hold your hand while I'm praying. I couldn't get her hand off my coat. I don't blame her. Now remember, this is still under the first stage of his ministry. So he had to take him by the hand to know if the life left or not. He tells us in another tape when he's telling the story. He says, I couldn't get her hand off of my coat. She wasn't going to let me go. And I said, now let me have your hand. She said, don't pass me. And I took a hold of her hand and pulled it off and held her hand. And while I was praying, now you can mark this fanaticism if you want to. That will be between you and God. But I can only tell you the truth. Something happened. I knew the woman was healed. I was waiting for the shrinkage of the cataract. Now he's got to have her hand in his hand, and whenever the vibration stops against his hand, he knows the life has left the cataract. So he's still standing there now, and he tells the woman to keep her head bowed. I ask you, can he who has a devil open the eyes of the blind? And I said, now keep your lids closed. Watch what he's doing. Over your eyes. I said, now raise your head just about where you think my voice is coming and I'll tell you what to do. She said, yes, sir. Said something cold went over me. Glory. I said, just raise your head. Now open your eyes. For thus saith the Holy Spirit, you've received your sight. And she opened her eyes and she said, is that lights? I said, yes. She said, is them black dots there, is that people? And it began to come plainer. Now notice, she's been blind for all these years and her brain has shut down to sight. So now her eyes have been miraculously healed, but her brain has got to come back and function with processing and the light hitting the optical nerve, sending it to the brain and reflecting the images back. Remember Jesus praying for the man and he opened up his eyes and he saw me and his trees walking around. His brain had to now function in the optical nerve. Oh, hallelujah to God. You imagine now she opens her eyes. Glory to God. Is that lights? I said, yes, it's them black dots. Is that people? And it began coming plainer. And she says, oh, Lord, I who once was blind can now see. And she let out a big scream. Oh, glory to God. I don't blame her. I'd have let out a big scream too. I think I'll let out one right now. I was blind too. I was blind in Laodicea. Some of them people have been standing there watching it. And I happened to look and there was an old man standing there with a cane and an old club in his hand. His leg twisted sideways and he said, Brother Branham, I know you. He said, I've been standing in this ring for 8 or 10 days Poor old feller come to see a false prophet, I guess. Poor old ignorant people come from buses all over everywhere to come and see a liar and a devil and a false prophet. The liar and the devils ain't this man here. I've been standing in this rain for 8 or 10 days.
He said, you wouldn't pass me by, would you, Brother Banner? Said, I got a bunch of kiddies at home. They need me. That a wagon run over me, twisted my leg like this. I said, do you believe? With all of my heart. I said, then in the name of the Lord Jesus, give me your cane. And God, who is my sovereign judge, when the man in an act of faith handed the cane, his leg comes straight. And he jumped into the air and screamed to the top of his voice. Hallelujah! Can a devil make the lame walk? Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? But do you think these miracles changed people then? Many of them it didn't. Do you think reading them this morning will change some people now? It will not. But it wasn't necessarily meant for them. It was meant to bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Let people believe what they want to believe. As an American citizen, I still have a right to believe what I believe. And I believe that God sent William Marion Branham to the earth as a prophet of God with a supernatural ministry to bring a word, to get a bride ready for a rapture, to preach things that will change our body in a moment of time. Some said this man is a devil. Some said he is a liar. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Watch Jesus now in St. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to put them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father. Uh-oh. Are one. Then the Jews took up stones again. Now this is becoming a repeated thing, isn't it? So they do it once and then they do it again and then they do it again. Why? Why? Oh my, these words. Bringing the word into present tense. Leave it in the past. That don't make folks mad. Put the majority of it in the future. That don't make them mad. It's identifying the present word for this hour. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not. Liars. They was previously the verse I read to you a while ago. This fixing a stoning for a good work. But for blasphemy. Because thou being a man makest thyself God. They was totally backwards. He was God that made himself a man. Verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Why? They are so rebellious and they're moving under the spirit of murder, destruction. Kill him. I hate this man. We'll kill him. We'll get together. We'll destroy this man. When you see folks talking like that, remember, friends. Remember where they're getting their anointing. Remember, they're speaking their destiny. That's tribulation talk. St. John 11:7. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he seeth the light of this world. If any man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. We've got to go. Watch as it nears now its death. Matthew 26:3. Then assembled together the chief priests. Notice, not whores, drunks, liars, chief priests and scribes and elders of the people. And to the place of the high priest who was called Caiaphas.
and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Subtlety? Don't I remember that word somewhere? Maybe, what is that word? Maybe back in Genesis 3, if my memory serves me right. And the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. So now here they're using means of serpent seed. No wonder Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. Ooh, praise the Lord. Notice this in Mark 14:55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. Uh-oh. Well, now if you're going to kill this guy and you can't really find nothing on him, then you have to make stuff up. Mark 14:56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. So now they go out and they round up people and say, this and then this. Okay, you got to pray and you said, all right, I'll get up. Okay,
I'll tell you one thing. I was out there that day. And,
no doubt to God, a woman, I'm motion women are.
I stood out there that day and I heard Jesus say, lovely.
Woman, would you shut up and just go ahead and tell us what you thought?
And
what was it I was supposed to say? Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing and I stood up.
And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Did I read that off of a current website? No, that's in the Bible there. Oh, right, right, right. Don't you see, friend? We are dealing with the same demons that was on these people. Neither did their witness agree. Mark 15:6. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he ever done unto them. These people have entered into a stage of insanity. So they don't want Jesus, but they want Barabbas to murder and rape and lie and cause insurrection the way he's done before to them. Dear God. I don't know what this message means to you today, but I'll tell you one thing. It ought to mean more to you today than it ever has in your entire life. But Pilate answered him, saying, what will you that I release unto you, the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. For envy. He knew they had no case against him. But the chief priest moved the people, the mob. Here it is, the mob. Oh my, the mob has so easily moved. No doubt some of the same ones that on Good Friday had stood there when Jesus had come through and they'd cast down the palm branches. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They got caught up in that mob move. And now they're caught up in this mob move. So they just change from mob to mob to mob. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will you then that I should do with him that is called King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? What evil hath he done? This is the judge judging my lamb. My lamb. My atonement. Even a sinner like this is taking up for what is right. Ain't that right? Lord Jesus. And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him! Wow, their minds are made up. They want nothing to do with it. They are now entering into the consummation of their destiny. Kill, destroy, annihilate, murder! Lord Jesus. Mark 15:29. They that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking and among themselves with the scribes. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And the truth of that is, if he'd have saved himself, he couldn't have saved others. Oh, glory. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross. Watch them now how they enter into the ridicule and the mocking. Watch. The ridicule and the mockery that comes with their destiny made manifest in time. This is why people ridicule and mock the prophet and the message in you. How can they still follow that when we've shown he's a false prophet? You haven't shown no such a thing. You have not proved any such a thing that he was a false prophet. Glory! I said glory! In your view, he may be a false prophet, but not to the elect of God. In their view, they had every right to blaspheme the Son of God and ridicule him. Oh, they will relive that day, though. You imagine Caiaphas, Annas, all them great religious leaders went home that night as they sat down and got out their Bible. Then it wasn't, of course, a book like this, a scroll. But they started unrolling the scroll and they sat there. He will be led as a lamb before his shears. Dumb, he opened not his mouth.
Oh, Yahweh, when will you send the Messiah?
Maybe it turned over here to Deuteronomy 18:15. Behold, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me from among your brethren. And whosoever shall not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Maybe he'd lay down his Bible and say, oh God, I love your word. I love your word. When are you going to send that Messiah? Like people can read their Bible now. Oh, I love my Bible so much. What part? Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. What about loving? What about forgiving? What about... Amen. Glory to God! People die, but spirits don't, friends. Can I go on a bit? Luke 23, 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Now, who are these people? The Christians, so-called of that day. So they take the exact opposite of what he says. Cut and spite and cut and spice. Lord Jesus. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? He answered and said, thou sayest it. Then Pilate said to the chief priests of the people, I find no fault in this lamb. And they were the more fierce. Oh, I see. So the more me and other ministers prove the innocence of this message, the more fierce they become. Exactly. Exactly. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Verse 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends. They had links on their websites. Notice how the revealed word of the hour will make people come together who hated one another before. Brother Donnie, this is going to get you a kill. I'll fly away, oh glory. Don't you worry, friends. The devil can't do one thing to me until the papa says now. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, before that they were at enmity between themselves. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Now let's go back to the parable for a few more minutes. Matthew 22:6. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth And he sent forth his armies. Now remember, this parable goes present tense into the future tense. Here the Lord Jesus identifies the armies of Rome as his instruments of vengeance. So the invitation to the marriage feast. And remember, this is not the wedding or the marriage supper. This is the feast thereafter. The king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city, no longer his. Now let's read the fulfillment of that from history. After incredible slaughter and woes, Titus, the emperor, Vespasian's son, who commanded the Roman armies, ordered the city of Jerusalem to be razed so completely as to look like a spot which had never been inhabited. They plowed where the Temple Mount was. They took oxen and plowed the sacred holy mount to look as if though a city had never been there. Can you imagine out of this nation where God sent his prophet from? Out of this nation. Look, friends. Look where we are. Out of this part of the body, the eye age, when God has opened our eyes to see so many things. Look at social media using its means through apostasy to draw what? The eyes of people. Look on YouTube and see this. Look on this website and see this. And read this and read this. Don't you see where Satan is? Satan's moved right up into the same thing. And the very thing that God sent a prophet with the seeing age of Malachi 4 to lead us to the Word. And the devil's using people's eyes. Oh, they got a picture of this and a picture of that. And a picture of something else. Yeah, I know about all them pictures. Somebody sent me one not long ago, the picture of President Obama, and hanging behind him was a pillar of fire, Brother Branham, too. But it wasn't real. I said it wasn't real. It ain't no wonder the Bible says receive not an accusation without two or three witnesses. It didn't say two or three pictures. Or two or three votes on a website. It said witnesses. Come on now. But you realize where we are. Don't you understand why this spirit of destruction must come on these people who leave the message? Some will leave and walk away, but some will not do it. They can't do it. They're anointed to destroy. They're anointed to fabricate and lie and do everything they can to pull you away from this message. And if you can follow your sister, you ought to. If you can follow your mother, you ought to. If you can follow some businessman that's leading folks away from the message, and I say go to it. If you would take down a prophet of God and put up some Jezebel in that place, you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Notice this. Josephus says the storage city has been rebuilt on the old site, but without the temple since that fatal day, more than 18 centuries. No Jew save on bare sufferance has dwelt in the old loved sacred spot. In turn, Roman, Saracen, Norseman, Turk have trodden Jerusalem down. Literally, indeed, have the sad words of Jesus been fulfilled. Josephus speaks of 100,000 people that were slain. 97,000 taken away to Egyptian mines and elsewhere. They turned down the supper. Those of you Americans who live in this nation and side against this word, you Canadians who live across the border, do you think you'll get away from the nuclear fallout? I'll tell you, your eyeballs will be consumed in their sockets. Your flesh will roll off of your bones. You'll wish to God then you'd have kept your mouth shut about a message of Malachi 4. If you don't believe it, turn and get away. Go ahead and get drunk. Live like whatever you want to live like. But for your own sake and the sake of your children, Lot, get away from this truth and leave us alone. God vindicated this ministry of the William Branham and this message of hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of times. Those of you who want to follow this trash and nonsense, any of you in Happy Valley want to follow it, go on! You're not fit to sit here and hear these men of God preach the word. Don't take up a spot in the pew. Don't take up a spot and absorb in on it. If you want to follow that nonsense, go on! Listen, this Judea was so completely subjugated that the very land itself was sold by Vespasian. So here the Lord Jesus, when he came into the city, and he wept and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you. But now your time has come. You knew not the time of your visitation." And Vespasian actually turns once Titus conquers it. And the arch is still in Rome. For those of you who've been there and you've seen it, I've seen it myself. The arch of Titus, still there. And they show Roman soldiers carrying the menorah. A witness, a terrible one, but a witness nonetheless. One day, as that earthquake begins to rumble out there in the west, and one tenth of this earth will fall in. Oh, yeah, it ain't happened yet. No, it ain't happened yet, but it will. It will. That's only mild compared to what it would be at the end of that seventh vision as he turned and he saw nothing but craters. And that won't just be so in the United States, but it'll be so in Canada and all over. Can you imagine the fallout coming from the United States blowing across our twin, going into Canada? Those of you that have stood against this word, God have mercy on you. God have mercy. The marriage of a king's son. I hope you don't misunderstand me. In one sense of the word, I'm neither one of these categories. I'm the bride. I said, I'm the bride. You got to have faith to believe you're somebody. These are guests. I don't want to offend you, but I am not a guest at this wedding. Here comes the bride sitting right by his side. Here comes the bride. Sitting by his side. She's the revealed word living in this hour. Aren't you glad you're part of this living word? We came from him before the world began. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, children, may God help us. It's hurtful. It's sad. But these things must come. The end cannot come except this happens around the only real message left that has true apostolic faith. It must come. And if it's coming at such a rapid rate, how close are we? If I was you, and I had loved ones, children, sons, daughters, whatever, that's not in, I'd be praying for them like never before. Even if they're not bride, that God will bring them in, and maybe they'll make that foolish virgin category. I don't know what you think. I believe the hour is later than it's ever been before. You believe? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your word today. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take these things. If there's a one here today, they've heard the invitation and they're pulling away, may the voice of another servant be able to shake them out of that. I realize, Lord, that the sermon I preached last night and today and ones before along these lines, more than likely there may not be one of those people who've left that'll come back. But I know sermons like this aren't necessarily to return those, but it's to keep others from leaving. As a dear friend of mine, a pastor, told me the other day that he was so burdened about a man who had left the word, and he wanted to talk to him and wanted to call him and wanted to deal with him. And every time he'd go to do it, he would feel restrained from you. So he would make up his mind to do it again, and he would feel restrained from you. And I told him, I said, "Brother, that is so scary." He said, "It is, Brother Donnie. It is so scary." Oh, Lord Jesus. I won't be like that little black girl was that day, Lord.
I don't care what people say about you, a prophet. Well, I can't say I don't care because I do care. It hurts my heart to hear these things they say about him. I can't stop them. But whatever their attitude is, that's up to them. But I remember what I was as a Pentecostal preacher out there in Laodicea. Oh, I was proud of my position. I was proud that I read my Bible. And since the Bible was the only thing that I read, I could quote it like a machine gun. But Lord, quoting it like a machine gun still didn't make the light come on for me. So I was blind, wretched, and naked in Laodicea, reading my Bible, loving it, read it every day. Fasted 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. Constantly during the summer, putting up tent. Wasn't a week go by we didn't fast. Out in the heat of the sun, trying to put up a tent. I thought I was really doing something. But like that little girl, I was wandering around in the blackness and the darkness and the crowd of Laodicea. And you let Elijah get in my path. I don't guess I'll ever forget that day, Lord, when I sat in that Pentecostal minister's radio room and I was making radio broadcasts for him. And I reached up above my head and there in a bookcase was some books. And I pulled one of them down and read it. It was Brother Branham. I didn't know anything about Brother Branham. Didn't really give it a whole lot of thought. So I just put the book back up and left it there. But my mind never got over them few paragraphs that I read that day. Little did I know, I was bumping into Elijah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People can say we don't need him no more. Some of the preachers can say, well, really what we need is, we need a refined message now. We need a new one. That's what they're fixing to do. Is make a new one, reshape this one, and pull out what they think don't fit. But Lord, I'll take it like it is. I'll take it with the human part in it. I'll take it with him quoting this man's name over here and this man's name over there. That don't bother us. He's a human, just like we are. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting Elijah cross my path. In my blindness, I bumped into him. But Lord God, like that little girl that day, I grabbed a hold of that coat. And I said, I ain't going to let you go, Elijah. That's sort of like Elisha done that day. Whenever he said, I ain't leaving you. I'm staying with you till you bless me. Oh, Jesus. May our desire, our determination, our love for this truth be greater than ever before. So we too can say like that little girl that day, I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad somebody helped me get to Elijah so I could find my daddy. So I could find my daddy. And I found out my daddy was this word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Whatever your need is here today, friend. Brother Branham ain't here and that little black girl ain't here. But you are, and I is, and Jesus is. So whatever you need today, why don't you reach up and grab a hold to Jesus and say, Lord, I ain't going to let you go. I need healing today, Lord. I need deliverance. I'm depressed. I need peace. I need a financial move, Lord. I ain't going to let you go, Jesus, till you help me. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, she wants to just walk where you want her to walk. You see, she needs healing in her body today, Lord. May the Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus. May she not necessarily bump into Brother Branham today or bump into me. But may you step there in her path. May she bump into you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. May she reach up there, Lord, and grab a hold to your garment. like the woman that day did. May she be healed and delivered, Lord God, the request of her heart granted to her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, blessed Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we adore you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for Peter. We thank you for Brother Branham. But we worship none of those. We worship you and you alone, Lord Jesus. I love the way the prophet told that little girl when she asked if he was the healer. He said, no, I'm Brother Branham. But he told her who the healer was. And that's you. Brother Donnie ain't the healer, the deliverer. There ain't nothing good in none of us. But you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're our peace giver. You're our strength. Oh, Jesus. We worship you now, Lord. And we're like that little girl there that day. Don't pass me by, Lord. Don't pass me by. Oh, Jesus. No doubt the little girl must have got scared when Brother Branham reached up to pull her hand off of his coat. It must have scared her. She must have thought he was going to let her go. Oh, Jesus, sometimes we might get a little bit scared. But, Father, may we be mindful. Oh, that you love us so much. You care for us so much, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me.
God.
His word, my hope secures. He will, my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But my God, who called me here below, He will be forever mine. Oh, my chains.
Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many believes the healer's in the place? Amen. The Savior, the Redeemer. Whatever you have need of, He's here today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You know, friends, I feel so sorry for a lot of these folks that are leaving this word and pulling away from it. Maybe many of them was born in the message and raised around the message. Maybe they wouldn't like some of us that was out there in denominations like we was in Pentecost, wandering around reading our Bible, Harry. Oh, loved our Bible and wondering it. I've always had a photographic memory, even whenever I was working. I can still remember style numbers and all that to this day. Whenever I'd read my Bible, I could tell you exactly where it was at on the page. And I'd go to preaching, I'd get anointed by the Holy Ghost. I could tell you where I'd highlight it in pink or yellow. Because when I go to quoting it, it would come up in my mind, just like a picture right there. So you can imagine, whenever I preach, I read this Bible and I quoted this Bible, I was known in Pentecost for that. And I was as blind as I could be. But one day I bumped into Elijah. Hallelujah. I don't know who beside me needed that story today about the healer. But this morning when I got up, I thought I was already ready for Sunday morning. And the Lord dropped that in my heart. I thought, Lord, that don't seem to fit with the rest of this stuff. He said, put it in. Glory. He put it in for me. I don't know about you, but He put it in for me. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. I hate we ain't gonna be at church Wednesday night. Lord willing, we'll be back next weekend. Just come expecting the Lord to speak to us again. I love Him so much, don't you? Just so appreciate His word. Let's bow our heads together, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The healer has been here today. The Savior, the Deliverer. He's here. And Lord, I can say, I was blind. But now I see. I was delivered from Laodicea. Thank you, Lord God. May we take these little simple words, ponder over them, minister to our hearts, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. And we long for that hour when we gather up to your house. Lord, as I got a text from Brother Jason Watkins the other day, and he said, pal, it won't be long. These 6 hours difference or whatever it is between mine and your house, us being able to have visits,
It won't be long. That distance will be over. And we'll be living next door to each other in the presence of God. I thought, what a comforting thought. What a thought to be gathered around the children of God and around the Lord Jesus. We believe that hour is approaching us, Lord. Keep us, I pray, by your grace, Lord God. Bring us back at the appointed time, we pray. In Jesus' name. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Jesus will be there, and we are going to see the King. Jesus will be there. We are going to see the King. Jesus will be there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.